Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. We will find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome. Welcome to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, everybody. Got another week, another show. My name's Alon.
My name's Aura.
And my name is Rich.
Rich is far too busy using his computer to remember that he's actually on the radio.
I got the IRC working, yo.
You got it working. Nobody's on. So this week, time changed again.
You're lucky I didn't say my last name over yours this time.
All right, so the time changed again. And here in Arizona, we don't change time, but everybody else does. So
we're very progressive here in Arizona.
If you were ready to listen to us live... We're so progressive that we got on an hour early, basically. Now we're on 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. rather than 9 p.m. and midnight, simply because you guys changed time and we didn't.
So we're tricksy like
yay.
That. Like ninjas.
Good for you for missing the show live. But next week we won't have a show. Oh, the irony.
There's
every time there's a time change, there's some other reason why we're also losing a show. And it's just coincidental.
But they're doing a lot of construction here in the office tonight.
Yeah, no. So we're going to have basketball next week, and we might not have a show. We may have a show if we get rescheduled, but we don't know yet. So basically, just keep an eye on the website. And, you know, I'll try to post it ahead of time to let you know when the live show is. But
wouldn't it be convenient if that basketball just kind of disappeared?
Yeah. We're also considering moving the show back to Mondays. Since that, I don't know if that was more convenient for the listeners. Doesn't really matter to us, Monday or Tuesday. But
nope, not really.
If you have an opinion, feel free to throw it our way. But... anyway, local basketball is starting to happen, and so it might get in the way of some shows, but I'll try to let you know on the website, and, we'll always have the podcast available. Whether or not we have a show next week at all, though, is really up in the air. But anyway, moving on to actual show stuff. This week, what have we been playing? Well, Rich got a chance to actually play the new Sam & Max a couple weeks ago, and
I did.
I don't think we ever talked about it.
I don't think we did. And
at this point, I think it's already released or just about to release. Maybe November 2nd was when it came out.
I'm not sure. I think it might be out now, yeah.
I can't remember what the actual date was, but I'm pretty sure it's already released because we didn't have that too much of a head start on it. But you said something interesting to me after playing it. What was your favorite part?
The setup was, actually, oddly enough, it was really fun.
What do you mean, like the title screen?
Like, yeah.
Because I've played games where the title screen was the best part of the game.
It was just really cool because you had these robots talking to you, like telling you to press buttons and set your difficulty level and your resolution. And I've never had so much fun doing that.
I think the problem is that you just have a lot of fun doing trivial tasks.
Well, no, it wasn't that you're clicking the buttons. It's that the robots are talking to you. There's like an arcade machine and like a printer thing. And it was just really funny.
Okay, well.
Have you had robots speak to you before, Rich?
Possibly.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Really, I'll just take your word for it, because anyone who tells me that the setup of a video game is especially interesting, well, I mean, that's something to be said for the game, and I guess the creativity. So.
Yeah, you ever played a game called Steak?
E-A-K or A-K-E?
No, not the food, like, you know.
Like a wooden steak
what you
that
do with
you
the stabbing
stab in
motion.
A vampire's
yes.
heart?
Yes.
You could just stop making whatever motion you were just making. I'd
yes.
appreciate that.
You mean this motion?
Yes.
Of stabbing?
I don't know if that was a stabbing motion with just your right fist.
Which could not be mistook for any other type of motion.
Yeah. I've never heard of this game.
Yeah, it was really obscure. It was one of those like Xbox discount games, and I remember when we played it, we were like, it was basically like a Power Stone clone, except, I don't know, it kind of played like, I don't know, if somebody like spent 2 days making a game and trying to copy Power Stone, what would happen? But like the first like couple menu screens were like, wow, this is really slick and nice, and then it just fell apart after that.
Really, what that means is they assigned the menus to one guy and no other job, and so he had a lot of time to just make the menus cool.
Yeah, possibly.
I suspect that's what happened.
Or maybe they just they figured out that it took us a day and a half to make the menus, and now we have half a day to make the rest of the game.
Now, moving on to other games that have been recently released. You may realize that today was the release date of Call of Duty 4, at least for the Xbox 360. I don't know, Ara, if you follow these.
No.
Now, my roommate, who we've talked about several times on the show...
Is this the Nazi game?
No,
no.
Actually,
doesn't
not
have
at all.
Nazis in it.
No, nope. It's Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. It's all Arabs.
Okay, Arabs. All right.
In 50 years, we'll be talking about the Arabs as if they were today's Nazis, right? So, anyway, that came out today, and much to the chagrin of Big Old Johnny, the game apparently has difficulty getting him online. I don't know if this is a problem that everyone's having. I don't see websites discussing it, but he's tried to join an online game many, many, many times and failed to actually. What happened? Did you watch?
What happens?
I don't know what the deal is.
Or what?
Yeah, like he joins in and the game starts, and then like right before the game actually starts, like it loads up, and then it just says you've been disconnected, and then it says you were kicked from the game.
You know what? That happened to me playing Catan, actually, three times in a row. That happened to me, and then I rebooted the whole system, and I had no problem anymore.
Maybe he just needs to restart it. Maybe. I don't know.
If he's listening, he
should
restart.
It was really weird.
That's really weird.
It. I hope that it doesn't have problems with the game, and they have to patch it again, because I'm really getting sick of the fact that, which really is a fact, essentially every game now is just getting patched as soon as it comes out, because there's some problem. And before the Xbox came out, and before there was hard drive accessibility for every game, we were all saying, well, that's just going to lead to a bunch of patching, and we're going to have the PC system on a console, and you're not going to be able to play the game for real unless you have an internet connection and can update and all that.
PGR4 wasn't patched.
Well,
no, they were
not
like,
yet.
They were like, we're going to leave those bugs right there where they're lying right now.
Oh.
We're not going to touch them at all.
I thought you loved that game. What bugs are you talking about?
I love and I hate.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's one of those things.
So I'm just concerned that they're constantly patching things. Like Team Fortress 2, I'm very glad that they have the ability to patch because it was such crap. Unfortunately, it still is apparently broken based on our tests. But, I mean, there's sometimes that the patching is good, but it would be really nice if they just released a game that wasn't broken to begin with. And they're getting used to just patching too much, and it's become something we've accepted. And at least most of the patching is only relevant to the online component of the games, and they're not patching stuff that isn't the online stuff. But still, I just wish it wasn't necessary. In addition, Microsoft tried to push this whole "you don't need a hard drive to play our games" thing, when obviously if you're downloading a bunch of patches, you don't want it all running from the memory card. I don't even know if patches can be saved to the memory card.
I don't see why not.
I think so, but I'm not sure. I've never tried it.
You need a new memory card for every patch you download.
No.
And then extra maps you download for games. And
yeah, those
extra maps. Or maybe like two memory cards for one patch, like you like swap out this game.
I mean, now if you have the 512 megabyte memory card, you could have a couple patches.
I'm with you there, but this is going down an argument that isn't really necessary to discuss, just that Microsoft should have never released an option without a hard drive on the Xbox 360, but
well,
whatever.
If they can do it, they will.
That's an age-old argument. Essentially, everyone has to have a hard drive now, so
yep.
At least it's cheaper. All right, so you played some Sam & Max. Call of Duty 4, apparently Johnny's having some trouble, but I'm hoping it's just something wrong with our house or the Xbox or whatever. But I had that problem on that Xbox with Catan, so maybe if he reboots, it'll fix itself. Now, later on the show, we're going to have Tyrone Rodriguez, the designer of Castlevania for mobile phones.
Yep. He's he's been in the industry for many years, and I've known him for many years more than that, actually.
Now, did you guys just play video games a lot?
Yeah.
Younger?
Oh, it's,
you both
it's
said,
such
oh, we're
a long
be designers
story.
When we grow up, and
actually,
you're both living happily together in a meadow of designerdom.
Well, I don't know about that, but especially the together part. But no, there was a long, long time ago when, you know, I would have dreams of being in the industry, and so, you know, what would we do when we had such dreams? We basically made up fanzines and pretended that we were in the industry. And
that's one way to get in.
It is one way to get in. Fake,
that's how a lot of people
make
get
it.
Into E3 these days, by making fake websites.
Yeah. Which
essentially fanzines minus the difficult parts of printing.
Yeah, well, this is really interesting, right? Because, like, back in the day, you know, there wasn't, like, websites that you could make, right? So you had to really be kind of, like, have a certain level of ingenuity and a certain level of drive to actually, like, you know, print a magazine. And, you know, if it's not a magazine, it's on, like, copy paper.
You had actual subscribers to your little fanzine.
I never really, like, wanted to get a subscription base, you know, but at one point I had, like, about, like, 20 people. You know, I just charged people $1 for it. And, you know, I'd send it to, like, companies and magazines and stuff like that. And there was actually, like, quite a network of fan-eds, they called them, fanzine editors. And I was one of them, and Tyrone was one of them, and, you know, they had all their little, like, drama and soap opera stuff, and that was really exciting, and you know, we were all teenagers,
and then you
basically
got into real drama of Larry Flint publication.
Yeah, and then there was real drama, and that was less exciting, but, you know.
All right. Well, we'll be back with Tyrone after the break.
This is Pen 15, half ninja, half machine, a.k.a. E-Thub. KFNX is the only place to get the greatest show in the internet universe. You just tuned into the Chatterbox Show, coming live and direct from Arizona. So make sure every week you download them, best live in IRC, and you can phone them. And I'm famously known from a night with Kim and Smith, or I'm famously known for being a long bitch. Just kidding, everyone knows that positions filled by rich. The show changes hold so much the seem is pointless, cause I'll have to rewrite it. But I am often delighted by the conversations ignited about game prices and pirates. And if you disagree, they allow you to voice their opinion. Unless Aura takes too long complaining about oblivion, what can Aura complain about? You'll be quickly inquiring until you find out he makes games, and you'll ask if he's hiring. Even though he does kids game, Red Star will leave you admiring. No matter how long this picky rant seems so tiring, the interactivity makes listeners feel empowered. Best bang for your buck, great way to kill an hour. Doesn't cost a dime, it's worth your time, so listen up. After listening like Al on stage, you'll say it's not long enough.
Yeah, shout out to UAT.
You can call up gratis, toll free 1-866-536-1100.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Wow, I'm so touched.
A great new intro, and he didn't even swear once. We appreciate that, Pen 15. I don't even have to mention. Yeah, don't even have to mention UAT.
Yeah, this is like, he covered all our bases, you know? Yeah. This is how to get on the air, you know? Just do the host's work for them.
The only thing he didn't do was give out the wonderful website, chatterboxshow.com, or chatterboxgameshow.com, or chatterboxers.com.
All right, so if anyone wants to make another theme song that has a reference to chatterbox.com, we're all yours.
Except that that's not our website, so that would be a little weird.
All right, chatterboxgameshow.com.
There you go.
Don't go to chatterbox.com at all.
Not unless that's you want a, really, that's a really headset bad radio for your motorcycle. Okay, so we're going to talk to Tyrone.
Tyrone Rodriguez.
I want Aura to take this because he's a lot more familiar with this process. So I'm going to hang back a little bit. Rich, of course, if you've got questions, though, you should pipe in because I know you're the grand master of game design interviews.
Okay.
All right, so Tyrone, say hello to all of our listeners.
How's it going, listeners? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, what's going on, Tyrone?
How's it going, Aura? How's it going, Alan?
You're not on speakerphone, are you?
No, I'm not. Should
okay.
I be?
Okay, good. No, you definitely shouldn't be. So, we heard a rumor that you were working on the Castlevania mobile game. Is that a true rumor?
That's definitely not a rumor. It's definitely true.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with Castlevania, but if they're not, been around for, what, 20-something years, premise is the Belmont family is always out to kill Dracula.
Yeah, and you know that that's, like, my favorite game series in the world.
Exactly.
Amongst my five other favorites, but, you know.
Yeah, so it's a little ironic that I was the person that ended up designing this one, so you're not going to play it because you'll be my worst critic. But joking aside, it's an all-new Castlevania for mobile phones. It involves a new character named Desmond Belmont.
Okay, now I gotta interject real quick because we were looking at some screenshots, and it definitely did not look all new. So
it looked like a port of Castlevania 1.
So explain to us the discrepancy here.
There's two Castlevanias. There's if you go to KonamiMobile.com, and that's not a plug, it's just you can check it out. There's Castlevania, which is a port of the original game, and then there's Castlevania Order of Shadows.
Oh, so you worked on Order of Shadows.
Correct.
Right on.
Which is all new levels, new enemies, although some original, obviously some of the original enemies like the zombies, the bats, obviously Dracula, and some bosses that you may recognize and redone entirely for this game.
Right on.
I'm trying to find more pictures now of the Order of Shadows one, so I can get a feel for this game.
So, go ahead, Tyrone.
Oh, what we now for the as far as the artwork, you'll see that it's heavily inspired by. We were trying to sort of instead of move forward with what Ida-san has done. As far as the artwork, there's not a lot you can do with cell phones as far as the resolution. So we definitely tried to go. It was more of a throwback to the Genesis days, the TurboGrafx-16 days.
And Iga-san, for those who don't know, is Mr. Igarashi, who is the producer of the Castlevania series, right?
Correct. Very tall, Iga-san.
Very scared of Americans who yell out, "Yay, Castlevania," when he's walking down the street in San Francisco during GDC.
Yeah, he's a great guy, just very very shy, but he's very appreciative of how much the fans love and know Castlevania.
Yeah, I totally scared the crap out of him.
I can understand that as well.
So I think one of the main questions that I have is you know, at least my understanding of, you know, cell phone game development is that like you don't really seem to have like, you know, too much flexibility as to what you can do. So, like, tell us about like some of the limitations that you had to deal with, and you know how you gosh, this is sounding like a design interview, but sheesh.
the biggest limitation with cell phones, aside from the processor and memory or even the resolution, the biggest single limitation is that you can't do multiple inputs at one time.
Yeah. So this is like all cell phone games are like this, even still.
Well, it's not also it's most cell phone or most handsets. They, for some reason, the engineers don't see it necessary for you to be able to push left, you know, or let's say the D-pad or the directional pad and the 7-key or the 5-key simultaneously. However, that's different in Japan and in other regions. They do allow that for some reason.
Because they're smart and they know what they're doing.
Well, you could always just build for the N-gauge.
That's true. That would solve a lot of problems, right? but that's the biggest problem right there. And the way around it, honestly, is instead of avoiding it, ignoring it, and just porting a game over to handsets, is you accept that and you say, okay, I'm going to build a design around that. And what we did was we designed a Castlevania that you could play with just your thumb on the D-pad. You don't ever have to move down to the 1-key, the 7-key, or the 9-key. Although you can, Desmond, like Belmont's before him, he can backdash, he can slide, he can use sub-weapons. But we were able to use shortcuts with the D-pad so that somebody never has to move their hand. For instance, if you push down, down, the character will slide. If you push down, back, the character will backdash. And it was just mainly to avoid frustration. It's hard enough to play a game on a cell phone. Why make it worse for the player?
Yeah, totally. But how do you attack if all you're doing is moving around?
You attack with the... It's pretty much universal that there's an OK key in the middle of the directional pad, so you can always hit that OK to whip.
Rich is very
intrigued.
Yes, intrigued by that one.
That makes sense.
But still, you're only limited to certain phones. Like, I'm looking at the list on the Konami website now, and it says very specifically you can play on this phone or this phone or this phone. Now I have a BlackBerry, and that's more powerful than most of the phones on this list. Yet I can't play it.
It's too powerful. You have to go lower tech on.
There's too much technology in there.
I mean, but isn't that frustrating too? How you're limiting yourself to? I mean, there's a million cell phones out there, right? And it only works on maybe 20 of them.
And I believe usually I'd have to talk to the marketing people at Konami, but usually they really try to go for a really high number, between 40 to 50 phones, handsets supporting, which is extremely high for the cell phone market. And the main thing that they try to go for is making sure they have the phone that's either the most popular, that has the most users, so that the most amount of people can try and play the game. You could support a phone like the BlackBerry, or, you know, for instance, like the T-Mobile Dash, or even like the iPhone, but how many people are going to really take a phone that powerful and play a 2D game or play a game at all?
Okay, I counted wrong. There's 47 for T-Mobile.
You're really good at counting, Alan.
Alan doesn't care. He just wants
like
it to work on
his phone.
There's like
20 here. Wait, no, there's like over 40.
No,
never mind.
But also, I'm curious, have you found that people have the attention span to go through and actually play a whole game, or is it only... I mean, I know in Japan and basically in Asia, there's a lot more acceptance of gaming, but I don't know anybody who plays games on their mobile phone. I've seen a couple of people say, oh, well, I've got this game and this game and this game on my cell phone.
Which is like Tetris and Pac-Man.
But they essentially never play them. They have them, so I guess that's revenue for you guys. So that's still deemed success because they bought it, even if they don't play it. But we need to get people actually playing the games in order for this to become a viable revenue stream, right?
Oh, we want them to play, and the way you do that is you don't give them, you don't put a full experience on the phone because you can't.
All right, Tyrone, you can't hear the music, but we can. Keep that thought. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
1100KFNX.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We're talking here with Tyrone Rodriguez, veteran of the video game industry and designer for Castlevania on mobile. You there, Tyrone?
I'm here.
Now, it's Castlevania Order of Shadows.
Order of Shadows, my bad, because there's already two Castlevanias on the mobile phones.
Now, before we went to break, I asked you basically how important it is that people actually play your game.
I would say it's the number one reason I design games is to make sure that people get to play and enjoy games. And now your question is on cell phones, why would they play them? But I totally understand what you're saying as far as we don't have a lot of time to play a cell phone game, right? You can't sit down for 4 hours to play a game. So the way around that is you don't design a game around that. You design a game that you can give them the experience that you would get possibly, you know, that same feeling that you'd have on PSP or DS, sort of that nostalgic Castlevania. You still have the action. You still have very basic and deep design ideas. However, what you do is you allow instant save. For instance, if you're in a level in Order of Shadows, anywhere in the level, and you just exit, it'll auto save for you, and you will start exactly where in the zone that you ended. So if you have to hang up, or you have to take a call, or you have to jump into the car, you don't feel like you're getting cheated, and you can eventually beat the game.
So one of my main concerns, though, is that I mean, I guess there's this instant save feature that you just described. And is there a save feature where you can actually say, I want to save it and come to this later? Or does it just basically pause the game?
It will save. Every time you enter a new zone, it will automatically save from you from that, or I should say new screen, just like the Castlevania's. And then if you exit, you don't have the option of saving. We just did that primarily because most of the time when people quit cell phone games, what we found is that they're quitting potentially on purpose, but they're quitting because, as I said, they're jumping into a meeting, they're getting in the car, or they're getting distracted, they have to pick up a call. So forcing someone to purposely save is a little more frustrating than just saying, okay, we're saving for you, and you'll start here next time you play again.
So I guess that gets around the point of people not really wanting to take the time to play if they're going to lose their spot. And so I can certainly appreciate the efforts you're taking there, but I'm also curious what other steps Konami as a company or any other cell phone development team or company that you've worked for, what steps do you see major companies taking to try and enhance the visibility of its mobile gaming efforts to say, hey, we have games, you should buy them, they don't totally suck?
If it's a company that also produces console games, and obviously a lot of many of the major publishers have jumped into the mobile market, they're making more efforts to cross-promote and saying, okay, we have Madden 2009 or whatever, we have Dance Dance Revolution, but you can also play it on your mobile phone. And you're seeing that in the advertising.
And so do you know of any times where, like, you buy the full console game and you get the cell phone game free or something like that?
I haven't seen that, but there is a model, for instance, with Konami, a lot of the games on KonamiMobile.com you can try before you buy. So you can hop on the site right now, and through emulation, you can try Order of Shadows and see if you like it before you have to spend $6 on it.
I like that. I wish I knew about that before the show, though.
Is that like the whole game or what?
It is the whole game, but it's locked to 30 seconds. So as far as you can get in 30, or maybe it's 2 minutes. It's been a while since I played it. But
at 30 seconds, it's like a menu screen.
I like the sound of 2 minutes better than 30
seconds. I think you can get to about the end of the first level.
Okay. Now, I mean, clearly cell phone market is just humongous because essentially every person has one. That's what it's come down to anyway. One or two phones, in fact. So I'm wondering what sort of resources the publishers or, you know, the people behind the publishers throw at the development teams to, because basically you want to be able to impress users, but at the same time, how many people are actually playing your game right now? And I don't have any numbers in front of me, but I'm curious essentially what sort of resources and funding they provide to you in order to develop a game that is attractive to users so that they'll want to return and play more games.
You know, you can throw funds at it, but at a game, but the issue too is, well, make sure that you have a team that gels together and that works together and understands what you're trying to accomplish. If you have, you could have 20 or 30 people trying to make a game and they might think that they're trying to make something that competes with the PSP. But at the end, if they did that and the game doesn't feel right or play right because it has too many functions, they failed. You could have, there's been games, many, many fan games on cell phones where it's one person and you have that full experience. But to answer your question, it really depends on the scope of the project. If you are making like a Tetris, a puzzle game, or you're making like a Frogger, you won't need as many people as you're making, you know, a giant adventure game or a fighting game that requires X amount of frames for each attack.
But I mean, I can tell from the website right now that Castlevania Order of Shadows is like their primary release right now. It's all over their website. So clearly this is one of the bigger games for cell phone anyway.
It is. It was released just in time for Halloween in October. So we have a big sort of spooky push for it. And as far as how many people were on the project, I was the designer, and I also did the background art. We had another artist who did all the animations, all the character art, as well as the in-house producer, executive producer, and I believe it was about three programmers and one sound composer. And that doesn't include the input and suggestions and all the advice we got from Iga-san.
So that's like seven people, right?
It's seven, right.
And I was going to ask how much interaction you had with the original creator.
A lot. He heard about the game primarily because we needed his blessing to move forward with it. And he said, you know, sounds great. Please do it. Do good jobs. Just keep me apprised, and I'll let you know along the way what you need to change or what needs to be consistent with the Castlevania universe. And I challenge any fan. He is a living, breathing encyclopedia on Castlevania.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask, really. Was his biggest concern just how it incorporates into the Castlevania canon, but not really the gameplay itself?
He was concerned. He was equally concerned with both. He wanted to make sure that, although this is a side story, that it's consistent with all the Castlevania canon, and that the Belmonts do exactly what they do. For instance, Belmonts are traditionally a warrior family, so they don't use magic. So the way we had them use some of the magic from the previous games was to have them use arcane magic, where it's item-based magic. But gameplay-wise, he was very specific. Make it fun. Make sure it's not frustrating. Make sure people can enjoy it and have a similar experience and walk away and say, okay, that is what I expected from a Castlevania on mobile phone.
If I could interject something real quick, one of the things that I remember Mr. Igarashi said a long time ago, which was kind of like their design philosophy on Symphony of the Night, was that they always made all their enemy behaviors in such a way so that, like, if you were good enough at the game, no matter what you had or what you did or what enemy you were confronted with, you could always just not ever get hit if you were sufficiently skilled. And I think that's an awesome philosophy to have in design in general. Like, if you're really good, you should just never, ever get hit. And so I'm presuming that you probably had a conversation like that with him on this one as well.
He did. He did mention the gameplay balance, and that was how he sort of brought it forth. Is on a cell phone, you can do some of that, but it's so much harder to be able to do that. For instance, you know, if somebody's throwing a weapon at you, you can backdash or whatnot. So we tried our best to make sure that no matter what, there weren't any cheap hits. Because more than ever, you play it on a cell phone, and you're going through, and you're going to say, okay, not only am I getting hit, but you're going to feel really cheated because you're going to blame it on the cell phone, and then you're going to blame it on the game.
So now my final question, I think, is how long do you think until we have speed runs on the internet on YouTube?
I wouldn't be surprised if people are already doing them. I would have loved to put in a time attack for this. I'd love to see how fast someone can go through it.
I think Tyrone's got his fans working on it right now.
Rich plans on
playing in the background right now.
Yeah, Rich is going to play, I think, on the way home. We just have to get him to buy the game now.
Sweet.
All right, so listen, we're off to the last segment of the show. I want to thank you very much, Tyrone, for coming on.
Thank you, Tyrone. It was a great pleasure, as always.
Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Everybody, if you're interested, go get Castlevania Order of Shadows for your cell phone.
And we'll be back.
We're back again, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with Alon.
And Nora.
And Rich.
And, well, this is our last segment. We've got, what, like 8 minutes? So we'll jump right into it. We want to talk about EA canning the whole Chicago office, but quickly I also wanted to point out a press release that we got today. Every day I probably get like 10 different press releases, but this one caught my eye about Sega sent something saying that their next gen or the new next-gen features for Knight's Journey of Dreams, the sequel to Knights into Dreams, right? Apparently, I'm just going to try to read through this as humbly as I can from the BlackBerry. Sega of America today announced that Knight's Journey of Dreams for the Wii video game console will come complete with a variety of next-gen features that tap into the system's hardware, including the Weather Channel support, a Wii first.
Okay, so that's one feature.
I didn't even know that they could do that, right?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, I guess.
So it's going to know, I guess, the weather in certain areas, although you're in a fictional place. I guess it's going to take the weather from where you're located. It says this feature enables the game's My Dream area, a customizable sandbox environment that allows gamers to capture, raise, and even combine the inhabitants, or a life, from the world of Knightopia to generate real-time weather effects specific to the territory players previously registered with on the Wii.
Why would you want that?
Hang on. For example, if the current weather forecast is clear and sunny in the player's resident territory, the My Dream environment will be clear and sunny as well. The game will also feature an online-enabled two-player mode, allowing gamers to race and battle against one another via Wi-Fi connection at launch on December 8th.
You got that, Rich? That's why.
I just thought it was interesting that it's tapping into the other stuff, like the weather.
I think that'd be terrible, in my opinion.
Well, I think that...
Like, if you live in San Diego...
Because it's always going to be sunny for us.
If you live in San Diego...
So we would never see anything, right?
We're only going to play the game in sunny.
And, like, what if you live in Sweden? It's going to be, like, dark the whole time you're playing the game.
Well, I assume it's also going to take, the night-day thing. So if I only play games at night, it's only going to be nighttime.
Or, like, if it's a thunderstorm outside, and then you're going to play the game, and then it's going to be, like, stormy in the game... Like, how fun is that?
Well, by the way, do you have to say anything about UAT?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, continue.
Yes, we do. I mean,
okay.
Anyway.
We just did.
There it is. That was lame, boys and girls. UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. All right, now, unlike any other game available today, Knight's Journey of Dreams will deliver the feeling of flight through the innovative Wii Control. So another thing I wanted to point out is how lame press releases are. Because unlike any other game today, Knights will deliver the feeling of flight.
No, it's clearly gobbledygook. Well,
Ace Combat with their giant $150 controller doesn't give them more flight.
I felt the feeling of flight with the regular controller in that game.
How about Lair? That gives you a feeling of flight.
Oh my god, don't even get me started on that game. So clearly the press release is a little bit lame, but the fact that they're bringing in the different parts of the Wii, I mean, it's all-encompassing now.
Well,
it's
kind of cool in a way to me, but at the same time, like, I think this is what Rich is alluding to. It just seems like a horrendous gimmick, because if I can extrapolate the resulting game from what they're trying to describe, you know, this, like, special area, I think, is just, like, an area that you go to where, like, none of the game really actually happens. And so it's basically just, like, a background, like... artifice.
I think here you're just trying to find stuff to complain about. Like, the gameplay, I don't think will be much altered, except there's going to be snow when it's snowing and rain when it's raining.
Yeah.
And that's neat, honestly.
I would never try to find stuff to complain about.
But like, wouldn't it be cooler to have levels that were, like, you know,
no,
based
this isn't
on
levels. This isn't part of the game. This is like part of the side extra stuff in the game, the sandbox
okay,
area
so
where
this
you
sandbox.
You raise
this
your little
isn't in like the
it's,
actual game.
No,
it's like a
it's
side
in, well,
thing.
It's in the sandbox.
I'm confused.
You, my friend,
because like
too
if you
young
play
to even know what
Mario 64, I've played Nights into Dreams.
So you remember the artificial life dudes, the little guys, and like you collect them in some side area that doesn't really affect the game.
I don't remember it exactly.
This is the same guy who in the car. I want to talk about this too. Sam and Max.
Oh yeah.
He had a hard time.
I couldn't figure it out.
Like, he couldn't figure out how to play that kind of game.
I just was clicking on stuff.
What kind of game
and had,
is it?
It's like the point-and-click adventure-style games.
Yeah, I have a hard time playing that kind
of game, too. I played for, like, 15 minutes, and I couldn't do it. I was supposed to talk to some robot and convince him not to break down the building.
I have a hard
and
time
I didn't know
keeping
to do.
Myself going crazy.
Just, yeah, imagine playing a game where you have to type in stuff.
Yeah,
just hope
I get,
that
like,
the
Zork
game
or whatever.
Well, Zork's one
look,
of the
he's,
I was thinking
he's
King's
a young
Quest.
Spring yeah. chicken. Give him a break. He's not as, you know,
I just don't,
well-versed in the
well,
old ways.
I mean, I compare this to watching the girls that we have over to try and play first-person shooter games,
yep.
and they can't control it. You, as much as you can probably control Sam and Max, you don't know what to do, what to have them
can't
do.
Can't even
in
figure
the game.
It out.
All right, let's
You're
talk about this EA thing before we run out
okay.
of all
we've
our
got,
time.
We've got a few minutes left, so definitely let's
all right,
it.
So really huge news today. At 8 o'clock in the morning, EA decided to shut down their Chicago office.
Now, what
completely.
Games has this office?
This office has developed. Produced games like Fight Night Round 3.
Fun.
And Def Jam Icon.
Terrible.
And I think they were working on some kind of like Marvel game that everyone was all excited about.
We have to start something on the website. One-word reviews by Rich. That's going to be awesome.
All right.
Fun.
So,
terrible.
I mean, it kind of sucks because there's about 150 plus employees at that studio.
I am really surprised to hear they would close down Fight Night developer, but at the same time, they should be in LA with
Here's the thing, right? Is that, I mean, like Fight Night Round 3, I think made them a lot of money, but like Def Jam Icon, I believe
sold very poorly.
Poorly, mind you, meaning over 360,000 copies.
Which is like a really good selling game for the PS3.
But not when your studio goes from 40 employees to 150 plus in a matter of a short span of time. This was, you know, I know some friends who live in Chicago, and, you know, I was told that, you know, the EA studio there was like the biggest, best studio. Like they had all these crazy amenities. This one guy told me they were making like a go-kart track. For the EA game development studio.
Not anymore.
So here's one thing that I wanted to bring up real quick is that, you know, there was a there's a statement from the president of EA Games to, you know, all the employees. And here's a little excerpt from that I found interesting. Within the EA Games label, we are committed to running each franchise and facility as a city/state, teams with unique creative ideas as well as responsibility for product quality, ship dates, and profitability. Unfortunately, EA Chicago hasn't been able to meet that standard. Closing EA Chicago is the toughest decision I've made in my career, one that in no way reflects on the talent and dedication of the people who work there. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's saying that, like, the people working there didn't make the product good enough, but we didn't fire them because they didn't make it good enough. So I don't understand what that's all about.
So it
sounds
like
a contradiction in terms to me. But I mean, I kind of feel really bad. It seems like just the whole thing was, you know, just yet another example of a studio exploding in size so quickly that, you know, if they have one project that's not a huge blockbuster success, they have to shut the whole thing down in order to maintain profitability, which is kind of crazy.
And it doesn't even seem like it'd be their fault. It's not like that studio chose to make Def Jam Icon.
Well,
I'm sure that was assigned to them.
Well, those kinds of things.
So
I mean,
it's like
with projects that big, there's so many inputs into it that it's like it's really kind of hard to say, you know, like who really like intended it to happen because there's so many people saying yes and so many people saying no and all this other stuff.
Because like, I don't know. I guess like Fight Night was a good game. And they did a good job with that game. But then if they're just like, okay, well, now you have to make this game that's just not a fun game in the basic idea. And they say, try to make this fun and hopefully it sells well. And then it doesn't. They shut down the entire studio.
Well, our condolences go out to everybody who lost their job because of that. Hopefully you guys will, you know, find something cooler and better. So that's all I got for you guys.
And me too. I don't know enough about this closing thing. I'm not even going to try and comment. But we will be back sometime in the next 2 weeks. Stay tuned, because next week we may or may not have a show. But definitely in 2 weeks we will. We might even be moving to Mondays. like I said, just keep your eye on the website. We'll let you know what's up. And we really appreciate you listening. Send us letters if you got them.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.